Well, welcome to another My Life in Football, and I'm pleased to say that a good friend of mine is joining us today, and of course, it's the one and only Mr. Dean Barker. So, welcome, Dean.
Welcome, Dean.
So, mate, I mean, I suppose it's been some time since we've spoke, but I mean, with My Life in Football, I mean, the usual question to start off, I suppose, I've asked everybody. I mean, where did non-league football start for you? I suppose it was a playing career, was it?
Yeah, playing career, but my dad used to take me to non-league football growing up, QPR and non-league football. Watched loads of games growing up and really enjoyed it, and then started playing non-league football when I was 16, 17. Played until I was about 30. I ruptured my ACL at 30, got injured, and the next best thing was management, so got into management when I was 30, I think.
So where did you first start off then in non-league football? Where was the first team you was playing for there?
I think I was playing for Wingate and Finchley at the time, and then I went to uni, played in the Hellenic League and the Ryman Division 2 for a few teams up there. Really enjoyed the Hellenic League, different grounds, different people. Obviously playing uni football at the time as well. It was really, really good, and I enjoyed playing non-league football.
So what would you say would have been the difference then, going from maybe playing school football or whatever else, and then playing in college football, but then going into play for somebody, you know, in sort of a biggish name in non-league football, you know, in Wingate and Finchley? I mean, what was the football different style, different sort of, you know, was it a bit of an eye opener?
Definitely an eye opener. Even the change rooms, where you go from youth football to men's football, the change rooms sort of back then were a lot different to they are now. The stuff that used to go on in the change rooms 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't be able to get away with now, to be honest. So, I enjoyed it. The biggest thing was getting used to men's football and getting an elbow in your mouth and being told you're rubbish and whatever else it would have been. It was really, really good and a big eye-opener. And there was a lot of people that sort of helped me when I was younger getting used to men's football.
Can you remember what the first game was?
Good question. I don't, to be honest. I don't remember what my first game was. I used to be a striker. Scored a few goals in my time, Dave. I remember like everything. You remember the good games and the bad games. But I can't really remember my first, I don't know if you want to call it, non-league, semi-professional game. I played lots of games over, sort of, was it a 10, 15-year period?
Can you remember a game then for Wingate?
Wingate was more sort of the youth football and like reserves and stuff like that. And then I went to uni. I remember playing in the Hellenic League and, like I said, in the Ryman 2. I played for teams like Holmer Green, Trowbridge Town, teams that you might not have heard of really, Chipping Norton Town, Cook Norton, sort of in the Oxfordshire area and Wiltshire area because of where I went to uni. Some of my favourite times were at Trowbridge Town, big club in Wiltshire. I think they were a conference club previously, so I went bust and come again. And it was great to play in front of supporters, and yeah, they used to talk a lot different to how I spoke. those were good times, and yeah, I really enjoyed travelling down there.
So we got going up playing then. Was that a little bit different to playing, you know, even at Wingo?
Yeah, it was different football. The Hellenic League for me compared to the Spartan League and the Essex Senior. The Hellenic League was a better standard at the time. When I came back from uni and I played for teams like Cock Fosters and Ware and teams like that, it was totally different football. But yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed. Must have played 5 or 6 years in the Hellenic League. Remember playing against Charlie Austin, who's now at West Brom, when he was at Hungerford. There were some good players in the Hellenic League at the time.
So I mean, when you played in there, I mean, can you remember a game? You know, you first played for them.
Yeah, in the Hellenic League, I remember playing for a team called Adderbury Park, which is near Banbury. Mm-hmm. One of my friends at uni, he said to me, "Oh, what you do?" So my first year at uni, obviously getting to know the area and places, and my friend said, "Oh, do you want to come and play for our team?" So I said, "Yeah, all right." So got there, didn't know what to expect. We played a team called Rosstown from Ross on Wye near Wales, Herefordshire. Scored after 2 minutes, and I think we lost 6-2. But yeah, really enjoyed it. And the manager was a man called Jimmy Hay, who was the Wycombe Wanderers record goal scorer. Really great character. Made everyone feel welcome. But yeah, going to a place like Banbury at the time, I didn't even know where it was. So yeah, it was enjoyable. And yeah, I remember that game. I must have been 18, 17, 18 at the time. So yeah, that was one of the sort of first memories of non-league football.
It's a good start then, goal after 2 minutes.
Yeah, really good. And I thought, oh, this team's good. And then I think I watched for the next 60 minutes as we got hammered. So but yeah, no, I went up there a few friends, and when we was at uni, there was a few of us that ended up playing for them, and yeah, it was really good times. I remember when we played Boxing Day, we played a big local derby against Middle Barton, which is another Oxfordshire side, and we had boys coming from, obviously at uni, there's boys coming from all over the place. We had a boy coming from Shrewsbury, Harlow, one of the boys, Danny Sams, he come from Harlow. People were coming from everywhere just to play at Adderbury Park, this small little village team near Banbury. So yeah, really good memories, and it was a good season.
So from there, I mean, where did you go from there? Where did you start playing sort of on a regular basis?
Yeah, so when I was in Hellenic, I played for maybe 5 or 6 different clubs over a 6-year period. Adderbury Park, Hook Norton, Chipping Norton Town, Trowbridge Town, what else did I play for? A few teams in that league, scored a few goals. Really enjoyable. They used to get good crowds at that sort of level of football. Like I said, all the Clanfield. I played for a team called Clanfield near Whitney Lakes. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed my time up there. And even when I started, I went into teaching. I carried on travelling up to the Hellenic League because I was enjoying it, and sort of you get used to the league and the clubs and stuff like that. So really good. And then after I stopped playing in the Hellenic League, I came back home and I played for Cock Fosters. Where I scored nearly 50 goals in a season. That was really good, and got to know sort of my friends around back home after years away.
So, I mean, what league were they in at the time? Were they still in the Essex Senior, were they? Or?
No, they were in the Spartan, which is the equivalent. So, yeah, really, really good times. Played for a manager called Neil Ewing, and his two sons played for us, Aaron and Wes. Really good time. That was when people used to go out on a Saturday night after the game, and we'd play, then you'd stay in the clubhouse for a bit, and then you'd all sort of shower up and all go out. So these days, I don't think that goes on as much. But yeah, it was really good time. You're young, you're single, you can enjoy yourself, and really, really good time going out every Saturday night as well.
So how long did you stay at Cock Fosters for?
I was there for a year. Like I said, I scored 50 goals there, broke all the records there. And then I ended up signing for Hoddesdon Town with my best mate Gary Simmons, who was the captain over there, and that's when I sort of started to get injured. Then I ruptured my ACL in a pre-season friendly, and I wasn't really the same player after that. After that injury, it took it out of me, to be honest.
So, I mean, what could you remember? Do you remember the game, or you know what how it happened?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah, we played at a country club in Cheshunt. We were playing St. Margaret's Free. I think it was our first pre-season friendly. So making my debut in pre-season, I went to cross the ball and my knee just went. So yeah, no one near me. I was thinking back to all those elbows growing up and all those tackles and how I survived some of those tackles. And yeah, I ended up doing the most serious injury, just crossing the ball.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a story to that, because I was going to Vegas the next day. A few of us, because it's pre-season and being the summer holidays and stuff, we was going to, I think there was six of us going to Vegas the next day. And so I went down that day and sort of I used to just play on through the injuries. And I think in those days, everyone used to just play on. You know, if they got an injury, you used to just carry on. Like physios weren't as good and you didn't have all the treatment like you do now. And I'm getting on the plane and I'm thinking, come on, Mia. And I'm like, walking around Vegas and going out and all those sort of things. And I'm in agony in America and I'm thinking, I'll run it off. But so for like two weeks I was away, I was in pure pain. And then when I got back, obviously I went to the hospital and found out what it was. So yeah, the funny thing was I was out in Vegas and Hollywood and all on holiday for 2 weeks with a ruptured ACL.
And that's the actual second story around an ACL injury that I've seen. And I was watching a program on the TV the other day around an American wrestler, a female wrestler. She was in pain with her knees and didn't know what was going on. And then actually then went to the doctors and, you know, went in there and went, you know, what's going on, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she'd literally got no ACLs in both knees. And
yeah.
Weighed about 60 stone, like, do you know what I mean? But it was like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, you know, just carry on playing. Just the pain must have been excruciating.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I think it was like an 8-hour flight over there or whatever it was at the time. And, you know, all my friends are like, oh, you'll be fine. You run it off, all that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, this hurts a lot, this does. But you're out, you're enjoying yourself. You don't really think about it, do you? But it's, when I come back, I had to go and see a doctor quickly.
Yeah. You're going to have to move your camera down a bit because all I'm getting now is your bottom. There you go. That's it. So, I mean, from there then, I mean, was that from that injury? I mean, did you go, was you back playing or was that into management from there?
No. I came back after, I think I had the operation. I think I was out for maybe 9 months. Came back and played for Hoddesdon. I scored 17 goals in 11 games. So I don't know why I remember it, but I think us goal scorers always remember that. And then, so yeah, I was pleased to come back, but because I used to be quite quick, believe it or not, back in the day. And I used to play off the last man. And I knew I wasn't right. That season, so the season finished at Hoddesdon. I went to Ware, who were in maybe the Ryman 1 at the time. Played for Ware a few times. But my knee wasn't what it was. I played for a little bit more. I played for Cock Fosters and Hatfield and Broxbourne. A few other teams like that, because I didn't want to give up playing. But you know when it's not right, don't you? Stop playing and then obviously went into management.
So I mean management wise, I mean where was your first stop in management?
Cock Fosters. So obviously being a record goal scorer there, I felt it like it was my club. I actually went back there just after that with Fabio, who's assistant manager at Hampton and Richmond now, and Roachy. Went back to Scott Foster's playing. But yeah, so as the season, I went and watched a few games after going to IKEA on a few Saturdays and a few shopping trips, and I thought, this is not for me every Saturday. Went to watch Scott Foster's a few games, and they were really struggling at the time. And the chairman, he said, oh, Dino, do you fancy going into management? I never thought about it, to be honest. I said, let me have a think about it. And then at the end of the season, the manager left, so the job became available, went for an interview, and yeah, got the job.
So what was that like? Was that a lot different for you? I mean, did you find that sort of going from being sort of one of the boys, then all of a sudden you're having to sort of manage that maybe the same people as well?
Yeah, 100%. Because I was only 30 at the time, I think it was. And yeah, you're sort of ringing up your mates to come and play, but you're now the manager. So obviously in terms of if you have to drop one of them. But it was a club I knew well, so I felt confident. And obviously I knew the people there. But I didn't think we'd do as well as we did. I mean, we basically had no budget. We smashed every record going there for a 2-year period. So it was really, really good. And sort of God bless his soul, Graham Bint, who helped me a lot when I was there. Yeah, we had some fantastic times there. And it was good to bring through some young players and some boys went into the pro game. And Really good 2 years, and I loved it there, to be honest.
Where did you come in your first year then? Can you remember?
The first year, I think we came seventh, which was the highest finish in Cock Foster's history. Really good. As you'd expect, a few players left in the summer because clubs who had a little bit of money came in, and obviously we weren't paying them anything. And then the second season, it started a little bit slow, and we went on a run, which was a record. I think we went 16 games unbeaten. And we came, I think we was a point off second in the end, but we won a cup. We got to 3 cup finals. Really good. And I remember Alan Simmons, who's a big sort of Cockfosters person. He does all the programme, and he used to send me an email every week saying we broke this record and we broke that record. And it was the highest finish ever. And I think it's 1921 Cockfosters was founded, so obviously coming up would be their 100 year anniversary. Really, really great time.
So I mean, highlights of that first year for you?
First year, we had some good wins. The second year was even better. London Coney won the league. We'd done the double over them. Hartford were expected to get promoted. We'd done the double over them. We beat Potsdam Town, who I think they might have been 2 leagues above us in the cup final. We beat Hampton and Richmond in a world record penalty shootout, 18-17. That was the year Hampton won the Ryman Prem. So that was really good. Yeah, we got to, I think, like I said, it was 3 cup finals. The only disappointing thing, we lost to Harrowborough in one of the cup finals. We lost to Ashford Town in one of the cup finals. And the biggest disappointment probably was the Hamworth Filler cup final in the Middlesex Charity Cup. We went over there playing really well. We actually had a game on the Saturday. We had a cup final on the Monday, and we had to play another league game on the Tuesday. So we had three games in 4 days because we've been doing so well. And our keeper got sent off after 10 minutes. And then I watched the video so many times, it was never a red card. We ended up playing 80 minutes with 10 men, and it spoiled the final, really. That would have probably been the only disappointment at Cock Fosters. But, yeah, everything else about it was really good.
Great bunch of lads, though.
Yeah, great bunch of lads. A sort of young group. When you haven't got any money, really, you get a lot of young players. Ben Spall, who's the captain at Berkhamsted now, he was our captain. Great leader, got everyone together. We had some really good players. Yanni scored a lot of goals for us. Jason Beck, who's one of the best centre-backs I've ever worked with, he played for us. I mean, so many, the boys are so good, and they'd all go out together. It was sort of like it was 10, 15 years ago. And it's hard to get a group like that these days, where they're sort of all like, because everyone obviously doesn't get on, but they were... It was like having 16 best mates. And I remember Beef, the golfer, Andrew Johnson, he came down to one of our games, and he was in the change room before the game. And we beat Beaglesway United 2-0, and he's like got all the beers in after the game. And the boys are loving it. And it's, really, really good 2 years there.
So 2 years there, I mean, you know, quite successful 2 years. I mean, where did you bounce on from there? Was it your decision to leave Cock Fosters?
Yeah, it was my decision to leave, only because we couldn't go any further than we did. I remember being second at one point, and we asked the club, no disrespect to the club, because I love Cock Fosters, but we asked them, could we ground share, because our ground wasn't good enough to get promoted. And we couldn't afford new balls, to be honest, never mind, to ground share somewhere. So when it got to that, we were second, and we could apply for promotion, and we couldn't go up. I just felt like we were going to lose all the boys, and a lot of boys went to Wellington City the year after and won the league by, I don't know, 15 points or whatever. So, I just felt that we've taken Cock Fosters as far as we could.
So from Cock Fosters, where do we go from Cock Fosters?
Went to Wingate and Finchley with Keith Rowland. Aaron Sharp, great chairman, he gave me an opportunity, phoned me up and said, would you like to come and help Keith for the first team and manage the under-23s, which I really enjoyed. Really enjoyed working with Keith, who's doing really well at Avely at the moment, and Ricky Graham, Kingy, all those sort of people at Wingate were really good. I learned a lot off Keith, obviously played for Northern Ireland and West Ham in the Prem. Really, really successful season. It was the second highest position in Wingate and Finchley's history. And the under-23s, we won the league by 15, 20 points, and we got to 2 cup finals as well.
So, I mean, learning a lot from Keith?
Yeah, definitely. one of my biggest influences in football, Keith. Just sort of, some people would say old school, but sort of he demanded respect. When he spoke, people listened. And I just learned a lot of him, sort of in the meetings with him, sitting on the coaches. I mean, we went all over the country, Lowestoft, and great story about Keith. Because Keith's a postie, as you know. And I remember him phoning me one Sunday night. We had Hendon, who were flying at the time. They were top in the London Senior Cup. And he said, "Dino, you can take the game tomorrow." And I'm thinking, "All right, no worries." I said, "Who are you sending me?" He said, "The 23s are going over there." I was like, "All right." I said, "What about the first team?" He said, "I'm going to give them the night off." So I'm thinking, "All right, cheers, Keith. You're sending me to Hendon, who are about 10 points clear, Nico Mora and all those boys up front." And so we went over there with a load of 17-year-olds, basically, on the Astro over at Hendon. And we went 2-0 up after 5 minutes. And then we defended, stayed in the game. They brought it back to 2-1. And obviously, they were pretty much full strength at the time. And Gary McCann, really good manager. And they equalised in the 96th minute and made it 2-2. And we lost on penalties. But it was a great experience for me. And I remember Keith was away over Christmas and we went to Margate. Sort of might have been the 23rd or 24th of December. Margate was top at the time. Unbeaten at home. And there was 800 people there. And Keith rings me and says, "Dino, can you take the game for me?" So I said, "Yeah, all right. That's another easy one. Cheers, Keith." So we went up to Margate. Had sort of a good laugh on the coach on the way up there. Nothing to lose, really. I remember going down 1-0 down after about 2 minutes, and I'm thinking, "Oh, we're going to get hammered here." Had a go at them at half-time, got them going at half-time, and we went 4-1 up. And went 4-1 up, then we had two players sent off. So we went down to 9 men, 4-1, then they scored 4-2, then they scored 4-3, and then the fourth official put the board up for 8 minutes of injury time. So we've got 9 men, 8 minutes of injury time. Margate haven't lost a game all season. And every time the ball went in the box, you got 800 fans behind the goal shouting for a penalty. And I think that 8 minutes is the longest 8 minutes of my life, Dave, I think. But we managed to win. And I remember ringing Keith after the game on the pitch. And because I don't think Keith was into social media and all that sort of stuff at the time. And he said, "Dino, you're," in his Irish accent, "he said, Dino, you haven't won." I said, "Yeah, we have, Keith." He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe we got up there and won. And I remember the coach trip home was one of the best coach trips home for a long time.
Epic.
Yeah, really good, mate. Yeah, really. We had some really good players at the time. Rob Laney, Armit, Sean Cronin, Gorey. Some real good players who have sort of been in an era where people did have a drink after the game. And the coach trip home was really good.
So what, I mean, we can go finishing. I mean, every time, I've only ever been down there once. Went down there, it was when I was kit man for Harlow, we went down there, and it's one of those grounds, it's sort of like oldie worldy, I think it's a word to put to it. The pitch is just probably one of the best grass pitches, in the Eastern League. But then, the most amazing thing about it, I always think, and I always laugh about it with people, is when you come out of the dressing rooms, you've got to look left and right, because otherwise you might get run over by a car going into the car park.
Yeah, it comes over the humps, yeah.
And it's just those weird setup. You just think, hang on, what's going on here? Is cars going past? But, I mean, with Wingate and Finchley, I mean, you seem to light up when you speak about Wingate and Finchley. Is that a club that's really sort of, you know, sort of close to your heart? Is it Wingate?
Yeah, Wingate and Cockfosters. But Wingate, yeah, I had a really, really good time there. My dad's involved there as well, kit manager at Wingate. And, yeah, Aaron and Keith and Richie and Kingy and sort of everyone, Chad and Jess and everyone involved there were really good, and we just had a really good year, really good team spirit. And every time I get a chance to go and watch a game now, if I'm not watching a game anywhere else, I'll try and watch Wingate if I can.
Do you think they'll get out of it again this year?
Yes, I mean, sort of when Keith was there and they got in the playoffs, and sort of when I was there with Keith and we finished 7th or 8th, we were definitely punching above our weight in terms of finances. And I know people go on about budgets and stuff, but Wingate will have one of the lowest budgets in the league. I'd like to stay them up. Obviously, hasn't really happened for Spencer yet, but I know they've been playing really well. They just haven't been getting the results, so hopefully they can get enough wins to stay up.
So with Wingate, if you was there for a period of time, I mean, why did you move on from there?
Just because, no one wanted me to leave. Aaron wanted me to stay. Keith wanted me to stay. I just wanted to be a number one. I felt I could manage at step 3, and Northwood came in for me, ended up sort of speaking to Norfolk, and Keith tried to persuade me to stay at Wingate, but sort of I wanted to sort of give it a go at Norfolk, and I ended up going over there.
So going over there, I mean, is it sort of like a little bit like old boys club when you go to when you're number one? Do you go back and try and get your players that you've had? Maybe not so much at Wingate, but when he was at Cop Foster, that sort of thing. With, you know, when you move on to another club, do you go back and try and take some of your players?
Yeah, in terms of, I mean, Norfolk had a small budget and had struggled over sort of a 3 or 4 year period, and obviously they're near the bottom again this year. We brought some of the younger boys at Wingate who were maybe not quite ready for step three, but could play at step four. We're always out watching games. I mean, we signed a few good boys who were playing at step five. Sam Jenkins, who's now playing for Chesham at step three. We signed him from step five. Jane Hewitton, who scored a lot of goals last year for Walton Casuals. We managed to get a few of those boys over at Norfolk on £20-30 a week, they believe it or not. And if you told people that, they wouldn't believe you, but that's the honest truth. We managed to get them over. And we started the season really well. I remember we beat Chelsea in pre-season. I know it's only pre-season, but that was a trophy. They had Billy Gilmore playing for him, who's played for the first team this year. That was a really good win. We had a really good pre-season. Started the season really well. I think we were 3-0 down at home to Tooting and Mitcham, and we come back and won 4-3. That was really good. James scored a hat-trick and got the furthest in the FA Cup. And we had some really, really good wins. And we lost James Hewitton to Walton Casuals. Sort of quadrupled his money, and they were higher league. And when I left, actually a team in set three came in for me, and we was 1 point off the playoffs when we left Norfolk. So where they've been struggling over the years, and they've struggled again this year, it shows we were doing all right over there. Do you know what I mean?
So I mean, Norfolk wise, I mean, what I mean, any funny stories in there before we get to sort of why you left?
So some good stories. Obviously the Chelsea game. I mean, to beat Chelsea, I mean. Little Norfolk, without being disrespectful, to beat Chelsea. Again, I know it's only pre-season, but they came over. Joe Edwards was the manager, who's now working with Frank Lampard and Jody Morris. He came over. They had some really good young players. That was good. And just everything about Norfolk at the time was good in terms of the youth was involved. We got the crowds were up. Like I said, we got the furthest in the FA Cup for a long time. It might have been the furthest in the FA Cup ever. We had some good wins. I remember, obviously, the Tooting win was really good. We were doing well there. We were doing well. We had a good young side. All the boys were getting on really well. A higher level club come in for me. And the chairman didn't sort of agree with me wanting to talk to him. And that's why we ended up sort of parting our ways. But it was really good. And like I said, we were 1 point off the playoffs. So, I don't think Norfolk have been anywhere near that for a long time.
So, I mean, you say another team came in, you know, was that a team that you got to speak to and it eventually...
Yeah, so, well, the interesting story about that, Dave, is I run a football academy in Lanzarote with one of my good friends who's in charge of it, and we didn't have a game because it was FA Trophy week and we'd lost in the FA Trophy, so I'd given the boys the Saturday off because it had been non-stop Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for the whole time. I was going to Lanzarote that Saturday when I got the phone call. And then, obviously, what happened with the situation. So I was in Lanzarote. In that time, the team won 2 or 3 games with sort of the caretaker manager in charge. And he ended up getting the job. So I was sort of in the wrong place at the wrong time, to be honest.
Was it a club that you'd like to have gone to? I'm not going to ask you.
Yeah.
That was, but,
at the time, mate, yeah. Out of respect for the club and the manager who's in charge now, it would have been a good move for us. And like I said, at Norfolk, we've done really well at Norfolk, and the people who supported Norfolk and the people at the club know we've done a good job and we produced some good players. So as you've seen, 3 or 4 years before we were there, and obviously this year they're sort of second or third from bottom. It shows 1 point off the playoffs and doing really well. We were doing okay there, Dave, do you know what I mean?
So, was it a period of time out of the game then, or was it...
So that might have been maybe the October, November. I then watched a few games for a few friends who were managing and stuff. Sort of got out there, watched a few games, kept in the loop of what was going on. And then in January, I think it was, I got offered the Wellington City job. which was a difficult job at the time. I think they'd won one game out of their last 11. Sort of, they were going down the table rapidly. All the players had left. And yeah, it was a really difficult job. I got the job on a Saturday, I think it was. We had Sutton Coldfield on the Tuesday night, who were in the playoffs, and we only had 3 players left. So we had to ring around a few favours, Dave. And we managed to get a team out for that Tuesday. I mean, how we got a team out that Tuesday, I don't really know. Still don't really know. But we managed to get 13 boys to make a squad of 16. And they were excellent on the night, and we managed to get a 1-1 draw. I think Sutton Coldfield equalised in the 90th minute, which was heartbreaking at the time, but if you were to give up, we had to introduce everyone before the game. No one knew each other's names. We'd had no training, so we're about to play a team who are really good, and we're introducing each other. We had to get them in early. Obviously, it's a Tuesday night game, so everyone's coming, ringing me up, Dean. Like, obviously, I don't even know half the team myself. I'm just ringing up managers saying, you've got any boys you want to loan out? They're coming in. They're looking at me saying, are you Dean the manager? And I'm looking at them thinking, who's he from? So shook their hands, introduced them to everyone, and oh yeah, by the way, you're playing centre half. So yeah, no, that was an interesting experience, mate, as well.
I mean, how do you, you know, when you go into a club like that, and I know Keith said it to me before now when he went into VCD and it happened to him there, and I mean, that must be like, what have I let myself in for here? Did you know at the time it was like when you accepted the job that there was only 3 people, you know, 3 players, or
so, not so much 3. I was hoping maybe 6 or 7 would say, Dave. But obviously, sort of what went on with the old manager and the club and stuff, obviously I wasn't there, so I don't know the ins and outs 100%. But yeah, I phoned all the players that were at the club on the Saturday, and a lot of them said to me, no, Dean, we're not going to stay after what's happened, blah, blah, blah. And the 3 boys who stayed were 3 boys that played for me before, or I knew anyway. So they stayed for me and played. And yeah, I'll forever be grateful for those 3 boys staying, because they... a lot of their friends and a lot of people told them not to stay and move on, and they stuck with it. So, yeah, I mean, they deserve a mention, to be fair. Dave King, side, Johnny Sexton and Jay Rolfe. So they were 3 boys that stayed loyal to me. And, yeah, they're all still at Wellington City now. So the Wellington City supporters should always sort of be grateful for what they did, to be honest.
So, I mean, getting them all in, I mean, was that sort of another thing with the secretary as well, getting them all signed up in time for the game as well? Because you'd have had to have a deadline as well.
Yeah, deadline. Phil, the secretary, I think I was with him for about 3 days non-stop, Dave. I didn't see my missus for 3 days. I was with Phil, and Phil's like, what position did he play? I said, I don't really know. I said, the manager's told me he's good. He plays right wing. We'll take it. And yeah, no, all those people that helped me, I'm really grateful for. There must have been 6 or 7 clubs that helped me and managed to get a team together. And even... like little funny things, like, Dave, the players were texting me, what's the postcode for the ground? And like, we're the home team, and they don't even know where the ground is. So, yeah, how we drew that game, mate, I'm not sure.
And if you remember rightly, you had Peter Sports in there somewhere as well.
Yeah, Peter Sports, they won the league, didn't they? That was actually cancelled on the Saturday because all the players had left. I mean, Wellington City got a big fine for that as well, but... They had to cancel the game on a Saturday, but when I've gone in, the game was already cancelled. So we had some tough games, and obviously we was near the bottom, and that was sort of one of our biggest achievements, keeping Wellington City up in that league, and they're doing really well this year with a lot of our players that played last season.
And of course, going into the following season from that season, I mean, it then went a little bit wrong, shall we say.
Why, at Kings Langley?
No, at Welling Garden the following year.
No. So I joined Welling in January and stayed with them till the end of the season. Really well, kept the club up. And I was happy to stay at Welling, to be honest, with a rained pre-season against some good clubs, some good professional clubs with some good gates. And then Kings Langley came in for me. I was actually in Lanzarote again with the football camp. Got a phone call from Phil, the secretary, and I said to Phil, like, sort of, he said, yeah, we're all organised, Dean. I won't ring you. I promise you, I won't ring you for the week. Sitting next to Jamie O'Hara, actually, sitting there sunbathing, and my phone goes off, and it's Phil. I'm thinking, oh, Phil, what are you ringing me for now? I've sorted all pre-season and all that. And he said, Kings Langley have come in for me. And I said, all right. And he said, what do you want me to do? I said, well, I'm not going to fly back from Lanzarote at the moment, Phil. So I said, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you. And obviously, I met the Kings Langley chairman and vice chairman at the time, Danny and Jeremy, who are really good people. They persuaded me to come over to Kings Langley. Wellingarn City were really good about it. They understood it was obviously going from step four to step three. And it sounded an exciting project at the time. And like I said, Jeremy and Danny were really good people. And yeah, I ended up going to Kings Langley at the start of this season.
And how did that go?
Well, interesting situation in terms of the pitch wasn't ready. So we had to, if you include pre-season, I think our first 15, 16 games were away from home, which was a difficult day, obviously. I mean, some people don't like travelling one game, don't they? 16 games away was quite a lot. But we managed to get the group together. We had some new players, some older players. We had a few boys on contract. And we started the season really well. The first six games were unbeaten. We went to Nuneaton and won 3-0. We went to Banbury and won. We won in the FA Cup. We got Kings Langley to the furthest they've ever been in the FA Cup. Started the season really well. And then the chairman and vice chairman left, and it went a little bit downhill after that.
So what? I mean, what's the name of that then? Why did they leave? Was that just money wise or?
No, they obviously I can't really go into it too much in terms of what happened, but they had a disagreement with a few people, and they left and sort of not left me in the lurch, but obviously they were the two people that appointed me. And then, sort of ultimately, as a football manager, you've got to be able to pick your own side. And when you're not allowed to pick your own side, it changes things, doesn't it? So that was obviously the main reason I resigned. But we left Kings Langley in a good place, and there were some really good people there: Jeremy, Danny, Derry, Roy, some really good people there. And it was a good learning experience for me, Dave. It was a good learning experience for me. And like I said, everywhere we've been, it's not blowing my own trumpet or anything like that. Everywhere we've been, we feel we've done quite well. And results have shown that.
So, I mean, from there then, I mean, when's Dean Barker looking to get back into management?
Well, at the moment, I've got a really good job working for MK Dons. It's good to work for a League One football club. They've been really good to me. I'm sort of scouting for them and watching League One, League Two games, under 23 games, non-league games. I'm really enjoying it, Dave, at the moment, to be honest. I've got a contract till the end of the season, which I'm really enjoying it, and getting to meet different people and getting to watch loads of different players. We'll see what happens in the summer. I mean, I've had a few job offers at the moment, but like I said, I'm really enjoying working for MK Dons, and the people have been really good to me.
How did that come about then?
So the chief executive rung me and sort of said, would I be interested in a role? I said, yeah, at the moment I would be. And I'm sort of, if anything came up, I'd look to get back into management. But I'm really enjoying it. And like I said, watching loads of different games, meeting lots of different people. At the moment it's a lot less stressful day than managing. You get your life back a little bit more. Obviously, you don't have to be at a game till 2:15, 2:30, where obviously as a manager, you're probably there from 12 o'clock. I'm really enjoying it. And like I said, at the moment, I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing. But obviously, I've managed Cot Fosters, Wingate, Norfolk, Welling, Kings Langley. So I've managed five clubs. And yeah, I feel I've done quite well so far. So if another job comes up in the summer, we'll see what happens.
So, I mean, was that just out of the blue then? A phone call from a League One, or have you got contacts in there, or was that just a completely out of the blue conversation? Was it
a bit of both, really? In terms of we've loaned players from MK Dons, so I've got the contact there. But yeah, no, it was something that came up. It was something exciting, a bit different, Dave. It's always good to work for a League One football club. I mean, not everyone gets that opportunity to work for a professional football club, do they? So, and it's a club with big potential. It's a lovely stadium, and obviously we just need to get enough points to stay up this year. And I'm really enjoying it. And it's I'm made to feel part of the first team set up. And yeah, it's really good.
So it's not the rumour that I heard then that you just wanted to get yourself on Football Manager.
No, not at the moment. I think I've been on here before, but not for that at the moment.
So I mean, looking at the you know, the career that you've had so far, I mean, what would you say was your highlight of everything you've done so far?
Yeah, different experiences, meeting some good people. You obviously meet some bad people along the way, Dave, as well. Cot Foster's, because of the goals I scored there, and to be the record goal scorer there and the most successful manager in their sort of 100-year history, that club is special to me. Mm. Wingate and Finchley were really good to me. Norfolk, we've done well. Obviously, Welling, to keep them up was a big achievement. We've won leagues, we've won cups. You remember certain games. At every club, there's been a certain game. Like the Welling, for example, the Corby win. I mean, everyone will remember that. Kings Langley, I still got supporters now telling me Nuneaton was probably the best win in their history in a league game. So, yeah, little things like that. And when you see people and they say to you, "Oh, Dino, how's this?" And I remember that game. That's sort of, yeah, what you do it. But the wins, you always remember the wins, but you always remember the losses, some of the losses as well. As a manager, it hurts you more losing than I think it did as a player.
I mean, I know these managers at clubs all over the place, but I mean, is there one job out there that, you know, non-league football, maybe that if that job came up, you would go, "Wow"? Do you know what I mean? I think I'll definitely go for that one. Is there like a dream job?
There's probably a few, Dave. I mean, I managed that step 3, step 4, step 5. Managed that sort of under 23 level, under 18 level, been involved in a professional game. So I've got good experiences from sort of all different ranges of football. But yeah, there is a couple of jobs that might interest you. But obviously at the moment, clubs have got managers, and it's disrespectful to sort of talk about another club whilst they've got a manager in place.
Should I say one? No, I won't say one. No, but
the thing is, I know every manager does say it, but I've never really had any money. I've been at, like I said, 5 or 6 clubs. We've never had a big budget. You see some people that get big budget after big budget, and they never really win anything or never really do anything. It would be nice to have a club with a bit of money or a bit of a project where you could sort of stay there for 3 or 4 years, because sort of from the outside, it looks like we've had a few clubs in a few years, but there's obviously been a reason behind it. Cot Foster's, we done as well as we could. Wingate was really successful, didn't want me to leave. Norfolk, obviously, we're doing really well, a higher level club come in for us. Welling, another higher level come in for us. And then obviously there was a bit of politics at Kings Langley. So we've never really been sacked anywhere or sort of left on bad terms. It's just football the way it is sometimes.
So if someone came along with you with a quite a big budget, shall we say, on a project, and he decided as owner that he didn't want to manage the club anymore, would you interested at Romford?
Yeah, that's an interesting situation at Romford, isn't it? I know they haven't played for a while, but yeah, that'd be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, I met Glenn Tamplin, I spoke to Glenn Tamplin a few times when he was at Billericay, and he come across really well, really passionate about his club, and I know he gets a lot of negative stuff, but good luck to him. He's putting his money in, and Billericay now to how it was maybe 5-10 years ago, the ground and what he done. He done a really good job there, didn't he? So if he can do that for Romford, I know people will be disappointed with what happened to Magic and stuff. But if he can get Romford a new stadium and bring success to him, I'm sure people will be happy with it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Dean, Magic, a massive thank you for joining us today on My Life in Football, and wish you all the best with MK Dons, and hopefully see you back in the non-league scene sooner rather than later.
Thanks for your time. Really enjoyed it.
No worries, mate. Thank you.